At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
It's very hard to make a new friend. Whatever the group is that you've got now, that's who you're going with. You're not interviewing, you're not looking at any new people, you're not interested in any, seeing any applications. They don't know the places, they don't know the foods. They don't know the activities. If I meet a guy in a club or a gym or something, look, I'm sure you're a very nice person. You seem to have a lot of potential. We're just not hiring right now. Of course, when you're a kid, you can be friends with anybody. You remember when you were a little kid, what are the qualifications? If someone's in front of my house now, that's my friend. They're my friend. That's it. Are you grown up? No? Great. Come on in. Let's jump up and down on my bed. And if you have anything in common at all, you like cherry soda, I like cherry soda. We'll be best friends.
Oh. You know what? We're on the Pew Talk Podcast talking about pews today. And we have special guests live from somewhere else.
On location.
Can you guys guess who it is? Come on.
Tom Hanks.
It is not Tom Hanks. We do have the Gerber family coming on. Yes, we are back to full strength from the power of the interwebs. And I just want to say, Gerbs, I really think it's funny that you that were like, that Gerb. I think you were funny dancing around. I think it was funny. Nobody else could see you but me, but it was funny.
I was having fun. Yep.
Oh, you could see me that whole time?
Well, your phone was falling over. We saw up your nose. Don't worry about it.
Is it clear? Am I good?
Well, it seemed like it. It seemed clear, at least on the interwebs.
On the interwebs.
Oh, good.
You know, yeah. There's filters. So
I'll just blame it on the interwebs if it doesn't look clear.
There you go.
The connection.
What a fantastic. You guys look great. How are you guys doing over there in the other world? I don't hear you. Gerber's mic's mic shut off.
Your mic shut off.
I like seeing adults.
There it is.
Sorry.
There you go.
I'm trying to mute it because Stacy's and mine keep echoing.
Yeah, Stacy. That is accurate. That's fun.
Sorry. Yep.
Our sound engineer loves this.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. Hey, are you guys staying 6 feet apart or what's going on over there? Or is it 32 feet?
This is my last day in isolation.
Yay.
So I can reemerge tomorrow.
You can come into the out now?
I can, but the rest of my family can't. Rejoice. So Anthony can go back to work because I'll be available and I'll be with the kid for another week. So
well, you know, it's almost like you didn't skip a beat because you were making videos in your football video from, was it yesterday? That was great.
That was fun.
We had a lot of fun with that. we got to figure this out because this is fun. It took like 10 tries, but we got it.
Are you talking about?
There's not a better place. Your football video?
Yes, that took a while.
So were you throwing the football, Stacey? Or was that Landon?
I was not involved.
It was Landon.
You didn't see the video yesterday?
What video?
On the Facebooks.
I don't turn on the Facebooks.
Well, then you're missing out.
I work.
You work at the place that does the Facebooks.
This is true, but half the time I leave my phone someplace around the place where I work.
That's also true.
Okay, yeah. So for anybody who didn't see the Facebooks yesterday, Gerber was in the backyard with somebody throwing a mystery football, talking about how this is so weird. This echo thing is going to drive me crazy. But anyways, Gerber, do you have any insight in the behind the scenes of making of that video?
If you can mute Stacy.
I can't. Hold on.
I mute myself.
There, go ahead.
There it is. Yes, I have some. There we go, Stacy. When you want to talk, just lean forward. I'm mute. So that took a long time to edit. I was like, Landon, let's go out and do this really quick. And it did not happen really quick. And we waited until like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, 92 degrees, new record temperatures. And I was just sweating. We finally got it done. The last take, he was just spot on with his throws. And I wasn't distracted by trying to remember what I was going to say and catch a football at the same time. So that was, yeah, it went.
It's pretty smooth.
I'll have to watch
it. It has been my favorite so far.
Yeah, it was really smooth. You look like you practiced that a lot, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm glad it looked like that.
No, it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
All right. How is God messing with you this week? I want to look at Lacey. Lacey?
Sure. He's given me this lovely, lovely, lovely voice that keeps getting deeper and deeper as I go throughout the day. So,
yeah.
Wow, it's very manly of you.
It is.
And it's going to sound fantastic tomorrow.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
So, yes, but it's just a cold.
It's just a cold. Yes, that all it is just, it's not even a cold. It's my voice. So, I don't know.
Maybe it's Paul and all of his technologically savvy knobs over there.
You said knobs.
I couldn't think of a word.
But
Paul,
you know what?
I'm so glad that your board works again.
Yeah, no, it's all, I'm glad too.
Yeah.
Casey,
yeah.
How's God messing with you this week?
Teaching me that community means that you sometimes get thrown into things on the fly to make the community work, and it's kind of fun.
Are you going to elaborate on that, or are you going to save that for later?
With the Gerbers in isolation, Pastor was unable to be in person to lead worship, so I took a swing at that, and
you did a good job.
Thank you. Did really good.
I didn't have to write a sermon, so that was probably the easiest part.
And I'm so glad that you showed up at confirmation because everybody kept looking at me like, Lacey, are you in charge today? And I'm like, why does everybody keep asking me that? They're like, because you usually are doing the things. I'm like, I don't do confirmation. I'm like, no, you don't want to get your religious advice and scripture knowledge from me because I'll have it upside down and backwards, and I'm going to call Mark John and John Mark, and Peter is Paul, and Mary and Joseph did have a baby, but
his name was Jesus.
Exactly. And we should all be good.
Yes. That's somewhat of a nutshell of it. Yes.
There we go. Yep. I could only imagine how confused I would have everybody.
Only imagine.
That's what I was thinking too.
Naming the prophets, right?
But
changing the names overnight.
I had to get the tech set up for the family Sunday school, which is what I'm usually running at that point. So I knew I was about 2 minutes behind, but we were trying to get the laptop connected to our new speaker and the projector working. And I was like, you guys got this because I got a jet right now.
Yeah. Sorry. No,
it all worked out.
It did.
It was just very funny when people are like, are you going to do something? I'm like, yes, I'm going to sit down. That's what I'm going to do.
Stacy left. I miss you,
she didn't leave. She just
shut her camera
had to hide for a bit.
Oh, she had to pick her nose. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're muted, Stacey. You can't talk to us.
All right, there she is.
There's an intruder, and they didn't want to be on the screen. So.
Oh,
an intruder.
They're too close to me, and I can't have video evidence that they're too close. So.
Gotcha.
Okay, so since you're on, how is God messing with you?
I'm here. I've been... He just laughs at me.
I know. I'm laughing too. We're all laughing.
I've been in my bedroom for 10 days and I was really okay for the first 5 days. And then I had somebody join me for the last 5 days. And I think that's been messing with me. One of our children tested positive on Friday. So she has been in my bedroom with me 24/7 for 5 days, which has mostly been fine. But that's a lot of time with a small child in a small proximity, close proximity, who likes to touch me a lot. And I'm not a touchy person. So I've been just trying to go with it. We painted our nails today. Thanks for the nail polish, Lacey.
You are welcome.
It was declared the new favorite. So
fantastic.
She was
the COVID color.
Yes. And thankfully, I can't smell anything. So it wasn't even like overwhelming, like nail polish smell. So
Could she smell it?
She said no. So I don't know if she's losing her smell.
Uh-huh.
But that's to be determined.
Gotcha.
I've been asking her like all week, can you smell this? How's this smell? How's this taste? And she's been fine. But today was the first time she's like, no, I don't smell a thing. Oh, okay.
I walked into that room. And it was like I got blasted with a full nail salon. Yeah.
You're welcome, Anthony.
It doesn't bother me. I had to go take a shower.
I think what bothers me more is not being able to taste anything. And
sure.
I mean, we've talked before, we really like food in our house. And so people have been bringing food over, which has been awesome, but I can't taste any of it. I'm just like, thank for the great food. I think it's fine. And I think I ate something the other day that it was lunch meat, and I think it was past its prime. So later I'm like, I feel kind of funny, but I didn't taste anything weird. So it's, yeah,
that would add up.
Yeah. So all these things, I'm like, it's advantageous to be able to smell things and taste things for many reasons. So
yeah, it's almost like the way that God created us.
Right. Dude, go figure.
So Gerbs, how's God messing with you?
I get to be dad full time. I am not built to be a stay-at-home dad. I love my children. I love going to work.
You're also working full time while trying to be a stay-at-home dad.
Yes.
So that's different. But yeah, it's good for you to go to work.
I can't wait, Casey, to see and Lacey to see y'all tomorrow. It'll be I need to go make coffee for everyone. I should probably not hand out coffee post coof right away.
We have to talk about that coffee thing. I need to know how to make a lot of coffee.
You put a lot of coffee grounds in a lot of water and you heat it up.
Yeah, I know,
and
but
then
you
it makes
have,
a lot of coffee.
You have like that, it looks like a big coffee carafe, except it's like a big rectangle with a faucet.
Yeah.
We need to talk about that.
How about we do that off podcast?
I know, but that's why
we're not
like,
gonna talk about
coffee.
It on.
I feel like we can enlighten our audience who want to make large batches of coffee.
I make large batch of coffee and dump it in the blue thing.
Okay. Well,
I have been exhausted. It's been a lot of trying to do both. And then I don't sleep well when I'm sleeping by myself. I like my bed, and the guest room bed is not nearly as comfortable, and it's warmer in that bed than our bed. So yeah, the basement has been warmer. I don't know why. Usually it's colder. Also, you know, when we introed, you know, when we first started talking about Keystone Habits, I made the comment that I was going to do what?
Floss.
And I have flossed every day. Do you remember what those other two Keystone Habits were that are really beneficial that we talked about in the sermon that are really beneficial for your life?
Making Scripture. Your bed.
Exercise.
Exercise and making your bed are the other two that researchers have said.
We pay attention.
Like on the screen, you just like smushed Paul's head. That's fun. As you gave each other high fives.
This is awesome. I want to watch it, but I can't high five.
I have not exercised, and I have not made my bed in 10 days, and I felt it.
Are you feeling a bit sluggish?
I am. But I think, again, a big part of that is I miss adult interaction.
Like your community?
I do. It's like almost like community is important.
Like you should commit to it.
I feel like I would like to commit to a community. And it's actually really hard to make some of these videos when I'm really encouraging people commit to community. And I feel like, you know, the stereotypical hypocritical pastor of you guys go do what I say I'm not doing it for obvious reasons, but yes. I still.
Well, you know, and it brings up an interesting point of committing to community, because last year it was extremely difficult to do that. And you guys are doing it this year. Way to be behind the curve, buddy. But because we're focusing on community and focusing on committing to that community, I mean, that perspective of being isolated and then really thinking of the importance of community probably is closer to your guys' brain than ours. So you guys want to explain some of the different feelings you went through and different, this is a podcast that we open up and be authentic. So you guys, what do you guys think?
I have not realized. So Stacy and I have often done things, especially at night, we get the kids to bed and we're exhausted. And so we usually don't have like these long conversations where we look deep into each other's eyes. Usually our nights are like, she'll read and I'll watch a show, but we'll do it next to each other. It's amazing how different that has been when I know she's reading in her room and I'm watching a show in the basement. But just that being next to each other, even if we're not doing something together, how important that is for me. I know Stacy's not a physical touch person at all, but if I can just reach over and just give her a nice, here, put your shoulder over here, Stace. Like, no, wrong way. There it is. Pat her on the shoulder. Yeah, I miss like that's just a hard, it's been a hard thing for me. Yeah, I've at least gotten to see some people as they brought food over and things like that, but it's been a like, hi, here, goodbye. But I've been able to at least see more individuals than Stacy.
Can I echo? I agree that like our connection and our community between the two of us has been, this week I'm just like, I miss him. I don't know what's been happening. I mean, I can kind of hear on the other side of the door, but we haven't like decompressed and talked about things, just how each other is doing. For one, he's tired at night and I've been going to bed early, but yeah, just missing that. We got to check in to keep that relationship going. And just that reminder that even though we don't do a lot, like you said, we don't have really intense connection necessarily every night, but that physical presence is nice. And we do talk about more than you realize, even just sitting next to each other like that. So I've missed that, but I've also just, the amount of texts and messages I've had this week from different people and offers to help, but even just, hey, we're praying for you. Sorry to hear you're not feeling well. Feeling that community and that way too. So it's not, obviously I haven't seen anybody and been close to anybody, but the fact that people are reaching out that way meant a lot for me. I think I realized with community this week is, you know, you're talking about look at your community and who's in your community and who, like, how are we stacking our deck to our advantage? But sometimes it's not necessarily any, I mean, it is effort on our part, but sometimes community too is who's going to show up when you need it. And as much as we try to manipulate, like, these are my top three people, these are my top 12, sometimes they just kind of fall into there. And I think that's one way that God can surprise us in community too, is sometimes maybe it's not somebody that we would have necessarily thought would have stepped up and been there for us when we need that community, but it is somebody that kind of inserts themselves into that position and shows up for you. So that reminder too, that we're not necessarily in control all the time of who our community is, but there's more working in those relationships too. And it's just really neat to see how that falls into place.
We kind of talked about something similar this morning at devotions. There was four of us and we were talking about community and how depending on where you're at in life, like where you fall within I don't like to use the word age bracket, but you know, are you parents with littles? Are you parents with middle schoolers? Are you empty nesters? Are you newlyweds? You know, and then your community shifts around that because you kind of put yourself with people who are like-minded, who have similar interests, and you know, you all kind of mosey along together. And then, oh, you know, you might bump into a couple new people that you have met because, okay, maybe you're traveling more for your job, or you have a mutual friend that you're like, oh, I'm very interested in this person. We have similar interests. So even as you grow, your community will kind of shift around you. You know, maybe like you're 12 and outside of that, but your initial three sometimes stay the same.
Do you guys ever, some of us are closer to high school than others. Do you guys, back in the day, did you guys try to manipulate who you are to fit in with a certain community?
I don't think I ever really had that group. I think I have the ability that I can plug in well with a lot of people. But what I found is that I tended to enjoy myself more with the communities that accepted me.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Turns out that's how that works. But yeah.
I was gonna say, wait a minute.
Would you?
I really like it when they hate me. And
I like being antagonistic, you know? But I think that it's not so much influenced who I was, but it influenced like what I did, because the people that tended to accept me, I was interested in both stage production and like theater in high school and cross country and track. And just the chemistry of the two groups, the cross country team accepted me. It was just a more natural fit. Even though I probably enjoyed doing theater initially more than running, I started to enjoy running based on the people I hung out with. And then I became good at running because I did it all the time. So, because when I started out, I was horrible. So the community that I got plugged into based on how they accepted me, and it was the juniors and seniors when I was a freshman, influenced where I am today, because then I got a scholarship to do cross country and track at Concordia University, which was also where the DCE program was. And cross country is not the reason I got connected at Concordia to be a DCE, but it made it a lot more feasible when you you have a scholarship. So God used those communities to put me on the path of where I am today.
You know, it's interesting. When I was in high school, I hate to sit there and say I got along with everyone. It wasn't necessarily get along with everybody. I think, I'm not sure if I actually had an authentic self at that moment in time. And so, I mean, you could see me with hanging out with the jocks and then the nerds and the music geeks. I know I'm being whatever, but this is what we call ourselves. Just get over it.
We all know.
But then, I mean, I would hang out with the Hellraisers and I would hang out with, you know, and so you respect, and of course you're sitting there going, well, I hope that group doesn't see me with this group because, you know, well, I don't, you know, and it wasn't until later on in my life that I was like, this is silly, you know? And so figuring out the group community that you fit in with, that they like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you don't know who you are, mm-hmm. then how do you know if you fit in that community for realsies?
Yeah, that's fair.
True. But I don't, I think maybe just, and that's where I say your community shifts, you know, that might not, and maybe community is not the right word.
What's the word we're using?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you did what you did and it worked at that time. And then as you found yourself, you're like, oh, this isn't necessarily where I want to place myself. I would move myself over here or,
well, yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, even Zach brought up the concept of if you are, and this comes up a lot in other aspects of life too, but if you're hanging out with somebody who is a very healthy individual, then you tend to be healthier too, just mm-hmm. because of their influence in your life. If you, it's the same concept. If you want to figure out how to be successful in, say, business, you don't go to hang out with a guy who has no idea how to hang out with, you know, you start looking at people who are successful in that area.
Yep. You don't go to the guy who's gone into debt 3 times and closed down two shops. But
some of those businessmen have.
Yeah.
And because of those things, they become successful because of.
That's fair.
And so, and I'm just saying that the community that you built. And so it's the same thing with the Christian community. If you want to get closer to God and have your relationship with Jesus grow, then hanging out in a community with people who don't believe all the time.
Correct.
Might not be the best. Not saying that you just shun other people. I'm just saying that it's what Zach was kind of saying, is people that you surround yourself with that will have more influence. And as you mm-hmm. said, in your game analogy, have the same goal.
Yep. And that's actually today's video I kind of forgot about because I was doing yard work. So it just went up about an hour ago. But that's really our thought for today is, where do you see that future you? You know, if you look 5-10 years ahead, where do you see that future? Where do you see you in the future? Who, not where, but who do you want to be? Who do you want the future you to be? And are you surrounding yourself with people who will help you get there? I use another football analogy. I was not playing catch, but I use just, you know, if you want to be a great quarterback, you should surround yourself with other great quarterbacks and learn from them and see what they do and model after their habits, model after their what they do. And that's the same with Christians. If you want to be a great follower of Jesus, surround yourself with great followers of Jesus and learn what they do. And I guess, you know, as we're going through this series, the person who had the greatest relationship with God was Jesus. And so that's why we're going through and looking at his habits, looking at what he did to be with the Father, to be in better relationship with the Father, or to be in perfect relationship with the Father. And so how do we model our lives after him? One of those ways is, you know, committing to a community of people who have those same goals.
Now, I'm going to use another analogy because I'm not a sports guy.
Sports.
But I am a musician. And now, besides sports, there is musicians that form a band. Generally, you're surrounding your, and if you play with musicians that are really good, it makes you that much better of a musician, especially if you're the worst player in the band. What's interesting about that, though, is that even though you're surrounding yourself with musicians that have a goal of playing music and writing songs or whatever, each person in that band has a different role. My role as the bass player is groove and foundation, and versus the drummer who is timekeeping and pulse, and the guitar player is just to be flashy and be annoying. I'm joking. Sorry, Robert. And then you had the singer who just thinks that they're God. And so and then the rest of us had to correct him in that matter. I'm kidding.
I know you are. This is just funny. Because I could imagine just Cass and Robert sitting there tomorrow watching this and going, I thought we surrounded our people or ourselves with people we like. Paul, what are you doing?
Well, yeah, you should look up anywhere on anywhere. Google would be a good place to go. But if you look up bass jokes. There's a ton of them.
I'm sure there are.
And so anyways, like the Babylon Bee's favorite one is that the after 20 years of playing, the bass player finally realized his amp wasn't plugged in.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's not accurate at Trinity, but I think I have that. No, that's actually more accurate. but the community that of a musician, just like sports teams, you can look at your common goal, your common thing, and then because you're playing with better musicians, you become a better musician yourself. And then on top of that, understanding that each one of you has a different role in that community that makes it go forward.
Yeah.
Also, it wasn't for the late service, but for the two traditional services, the epistle reading was where Paul talks about the body of Christ and, you know, shouldn't I say, because I'm not an ear, I shouldn't exist? Or because if we didn't have eyes, we couldn't see. If our body was just a body full of ears, we could hear great, but we couldn't see or do much else. So, you know, recognizing in our community, we might serve different purposes.
Correct. And knowing yourself authentically and knowing where you fit in those roles.
Mm-hmm. And going back to the, you know, whether it's the musician or it works in sports as well. But, you know, Paul, you said, you know, when you're with a group of people who are good at what they do, it just naturally makes you better. It makes you want to be better, and so then you're starting to practice those habits, not out of I have to do this again, but like it fills you with joy. Like you know, that's why I struggled with piano, because it's just this, like, I was always doing it alone when I was a little kid, and I found no joy in it. You know, Paul, as we've been working out, I didn't necessarily love working squats. Out. Actually, I prefer squats to bench press. But
really? Are you kidding me?
I hate. Well, but that's because I'm so weak in the upper body. I can actually like keep up with y'all in squats and deadlift.
nobody likes squats except for Gamer.
I like squats. I don't like them the day after.
Because now Peyton can actually do them correctly. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah. But like, I miss working out, but I miss going out and hanging out with the guys.
Yeah.
I met, you know, I talked there was I went to a football game and I saw one of the guys that used to work out with us at the other gym, and I made a comment to him. I said, when are you coming back? He said, I'm not. I miss y'all. But I, like, for him, the workout was bad enough that it, like, over, you know, it superseded the people. But he's like, I really miss the guys, not the workout. For me, even though I don't always love working out, the community there is more important than the workout. So that's why even when I was injured, and I really couldn't do a whole lot, I would rather be there than sleep in, because it was so good to just be with those guys.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the things I learned, so even though I got a scholarship for cross country and track, I was never collegiately good. Like, I was always back of the roster time wise. But one of the things that my coach talked to me about is, he goes, you might not score that many points, if any, for us, but you have a great, he said, you tie a locker room together and can really bring in and tie a team together and hold it and hold our group in unity. And he goes, that's your role. Like, that's huge. And so you don't know, even if what you're doing doesn't necessarily, you know, I don't know, quote unquote, score points or look like it contributes to a lot to the group, holding things together and just being there sometimes, like, you never know what you bring to a group. I think we belittle ourselves too much.
Yeah. And it's interesting, that role that you're talking about, because I can picture myself in different groups where we just left. Yeah. I just picture ourselves in different groups, and that role might shift depending on who you're with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting. Interesting how, because I fancy myself a leader, but at the same time, there are many times that I sit there and go, I'm going to back off from this because I don't need to be a leader in this role, in this group. Mm-hmm. And hey, welcome back.
Yeah, my whole internet just like was like, goodbye, see you later.
And that's how these life groups have really worked for me, is I told my wife right off the bat, I said, I want to be a part of this. I want no part in leading it, because between trying to start a youth group and leading a youth group and leading Sunday school, I said, I lead a lot. I need an area where I can just be and just dive into scripture. And even though our life group so far has only met once as of this recording, it was just refreshing to just be myself, not have to worry about it. Did I cover the curriculum? Did we have all the things? It was nice.
Yeah, well, in my head, I was making fun of you.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
I'm just kidding.
I think everyone does that about me.
I'm kidding.
And I'm kidding too.
I know you are.
Well, and that's the interesting dynamic of a life group, because I think we would kind of look at least for somebody to take kind of the lead.
Thank you, Tara.
Yeah, and this one, it was funny because I just said Tara's the leader, you know, yeah. And so even though it sounds like I just made the leader, mm-hmm. I just like
you led the leader.
I just like you will be the leader, and you like it, you know. It's horrible. It's horrible. Stacey, how are you doing over there?
Okay. I was just going to say, sometimes our community, though, pushes us to be better, too. And so sometimes that's we're all capable of doing this, but now's your chance to do it. And this is a safe place. So we're going to give you the chance to do that in a safe place where you're not going to get made fun of if you say something weird. But that's part of community,
that's definitely
too,
true.
Is spurring people forward. So.
Been there, done that, own about 64 t-shirts.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about that's how you know you're in a good group, because if you can authentically be yourself and don't have to worry about those things, then you know that the individuals you surrounded yourself with are authentic as well. And that can be because there are a lot of people that I am not the same around. I'll be guarded. I'll be a little bit more standoff. I won't. Well, I mean, like perfect example, and it has to do with the role that I play in my job. I'm the boss. I can't be really myself. Mm-hmm. I can't talk about my hopes and my dreams and, you know, my worries and my scares and all that stuff. I just got to be the guy that makes the decisions and be, and it's a little bit different than when I'm not there. And because, you know, of course you're still talking and people will ask about what's going on with this and this. And you're like, I'm not going to tell you everything, you know, in my head. I don't physically say that.
Are you sure?
Though I might actually say that.
And it's interesting also. I think we were just talking about this a couple weeks ago. My Tara and I, even though we both have education-based jobs, her as a teacher, me as a director of Christian education, like the roles of how we have to be with students, and now me being at Trinity, sometimes we interact with the same students. For a teacher, curriculum and plan comes first, immediately followed by relationship. For me, when running youth group, it's the opposite, because no person's required to be at youth group. So you do relationship first, and then you work in curriculum. So our approach is
to be required.
Yes, we're going to make a law.
It's a mandate.
But it's
Walther League.
Bring it back. No, it's interesting in our approaches, and you can see that in how we teach. Even though we probably have similar teaching styles when it comes down to it, our approaches have to be different based off of what our goals are for our positions. It's just fascinating to me.
Now, I will say, on to caveat all that, it doesn't necessarily mean that I compromise morals or who I am in that, because there will be times that I'd be like, no, when this is not right, we're not doing that.
There's a fine line between suppressing certain parts of yourself and lying and putting on a mask.
Yes. And I think, I would definitely say that I'm not putting on a mask. Mm-hmm. I'm still me. I'm just not being as open as I usually am. Mm-hmm. People on the internet, I'm going to be very open with you, Nuske. And it also has to come down to the fact, I kind of looked at Stacey and said, in my brain, guys, I'm a very extroverted person. You being an introverted person, most of you are. I mean, that role in itself, because we talked about that many times, mm-hmm. and how much that affects your group. What do you think about that?
Being an introvert? Well, I'm also thinking about, we have moved a lot. We've been in Fremont now the longest we've lived anywhere. So community for us has looked very different at different stages of our marriage and our family life, just because we haven't really been anywhere long enough to develop those really deep roots of community. And particularly being an introvert, I'm not one to, hey, I'm in a new place with all new people and I'm just going to go out there and put myself out there. That's scary. So for me, I've come to realize that community building takes a long time. It's not necessarily, especially as an introvert, it's not something that I can force. There have been times where I try and jump into everything in a new place and think I'd identify right away, like, oh, I like this person. I'm going to spend a lot of time with this person. And then for whatever reason, that doesn't happen. Either we decide we don't really mesh well, they're really busy and don't have time for a new friend, just whatever. Our schedule just doesn't work out that way. So just learning that community is something that's always evolving too. For me, putting myself, like we're talking about this week, what is my goal overall as a person, as a mom, as a wife, 5-10 years down the road, where regardless of where we're living, what do I want myself to look like and be like? So for me, I've always thought sought out a Bible study because I always want to be growing in the word and in my relationship with Jesus. And generally some kind of a mom's group, a MOPS, or we did women growing in grace here. But just trying to find, okay, I want women friends who are also moms, who are strong moms, because I want to be a good mom to my kids. And I also want to be growing in the Lord. Those are my two most important things in my life. So I'm going to seek out community. Well, I know. And then I forgot marriage. Well, but being a good wife and a good mother. So being with strong women who are good wives and mothers. Sorry, I didn't mean to leave you out. but sometimes it does take that. Okay, what is my goal? Like we said earlier, what kind of person do I want to be? And these are the places I should start. I'm not going to go out and join a whole bunch of activities and be great friends with everybody right away. It's going to take some time. So if I'm going to take the time to do it, I'm going to start in places that would make the most sense for me. And So for an introvert, I think it takes, and for an extrovert too, I think it takes time.
Yes.
To build community. And you can try and rush it. You can try and force it, but I don't think that benefits anybody in the long run. So just having the flexibility to kind of go with it and say, I like being with this group. They have common goals as me. Let's see where this goes and what God's going to use, how he's going to use me in it, and who I'm going to learn and what I'm going to learn. Go ahead.
And Zach talked about that in service this Sunday as well, this past Sunday, because I think we as a society, we love instant results, but a lot of these things that matter and build.
You're talking about the bamboo.
Yeah. The fact that bamboo takes 6 years to get its foundation level. And then in a matter of, was it weeks?
Six months or something.
6 months, it shoots up feet.
Weeks, whatever. Yeah.
In a short amount of time compared to its first 6 years, it shoots up feet into the air. But that's because community and relationships that truly benefit us and help us grow. You don't walk in to meeting a new person to, I'm going to share with you my deepest fears and insecurities of my life. You know, that scares people away. It takes steps to get to that part, but the friends that I have, you know, for 10 years plus, you know, you develop those relationships and you invest in them.
Well, and I think why it takes a long time is because you're talking about building roots. Mm-hmm. The roots that you build with individuals, I mean, requires trust and mm-hmm. requires being open and becoming open because of trust and really putting yourself out there, knowing that these individuals are not going to stab you in the back. Mm-hmm. So some of it could be a guarded thing. Was it this book that talked about the aspen tree? Was that this one?
Yeah. At least, I'm pretty sure it is. I don't know if it was today yet or not. It was the kids book. It was the Being Challenged Kids book. Do you guys have that one?
Yeah, we have it. I think I read it
last night with the kids, but how they all work to get, like, one tree grows and then the roots, that actually another tree grows out of those roots. And so it's all one organism as multiple trees are shooting up.
Have you heard about the aspen tree? So the aspen tree underneath the ground is completely connected with the root system. Okay. And so it's considered one of the largest organisms in the world because it spans vast. And because all the roots connected all together, it's one big, huge thing. So the tree that is the tallest that happens to be getting the most sun is then transferring a lot of that energy to the smaller trees. And the smaller trees that are down below, they're doing something to help the other trees.
Gotcha. They're pulling more water out of the...
More water, yeah. They're getting more water from the nutrients from the ground or whatever. Yep. Because they're closer to the, you know. And so the whole entire organism itself is benefiting from different lengths of trees and different sizes. That's cool. The book was kind of using that as an analogy for, of course, the church, that we, the underground root system. Now we're just talking about the bamboo and how long that takes to grow and before we even shoot up and do anything. So it's interesting. It's interesting the parallels between trees, because I didn't realize bamboo and aspirins were going to
be said back to back.
Yeah, it was just like, we should just, every day we got to talk about a different tree.
Becoming an arborist.
Today we talk about the mighty oak.
But the root system, like, that's such a great parallel for our lives, is building strong roots. I did a wedding, and one of my favorite pieces of a wedding that I've done, we did a unity tree. And it was a family that had parents and grandparents all had farms on both sides of the family. So they brought dirt from each individual farm and put it in the tree, put it in the pot. And then they were going to go take all of that and plant it. I think think they were going to plant it in their yard. But that was right after, it was a year after my wife and I had bought our first tree in our front yard. And what's really cool about that is, you know, if you, it works well for marriage because when you first buy a tree and you plant it, you're supposed to water it for like 3 hours at a time at a very slow trickle because that saturates the ground underneath and it forces the roots to grow down. And so we were able to liken that to marriage. It's not about the big events. It's not about the birthday, the anniversary. Those are important. But what's more important is the day-to-day, the habits that I put in place to show my love. And so same with, you know, with our building our roots to Jesus is what are the little things that you're doing day-to-day to help those roots grow down and get stronger and be able to hold that tree to withstand the strong winds.
It's also true. I'm just preparing myself for Friday, and finances are the same way. I'm actually coming in talking to the kids on Friday for
life skills for a skilled life.
There we go.
But one of the I'm going to be talking about different pillars of finance, and one of them is building your finances slow, and it's the same concept. You don't, if you just grow so fast and you do all these things and you expect these big results and just over a lifetime of that, building wealth is not a instantaneous thing. It is a something that takes time, mm-hmm. and takes patience and takes, you know, delay gratification, delay these things. So therefore, anyways, this is beside the point. I'm just talking about all the parallels between trees and bamboo, and finances and life. It's very interesting how all those things are all connected like that, isn't it, Gerbs?
It's very interesting. Yes.
It's almost as if we had a God who created examples that we could look at to connect us to.
And building communities, as Stacey says, building slowly. And it's just it's amazing to me.
One thing that, and this is kind of going in a completely different direction, so if y'all want to talk more about trees, feel free to cut me off.
I love trees.
There you go. One of the things that I've been thinking about, especially tonight as we've been talking, is, you know, those different, the 3, the 12, the 72, and the 500, because we've been talking about, you know, the differences between introverts and extroverts. And I think for extroverts, and I'm completely generalizing here, it's probably much easier to build that 500 than it is to build the 3. And I think the opposite, again, generalization here, for an introvert, it's much easier to build that 3 than it is to build the 500, to figure out, you know, who's in those groups. I think for me, it's actually like the 72 is the easiest target area for me to hit, because I think I've got a lot of good acquaintances, not just like fringe people, but I've got a lot of good acquaintances. But especially, you know, Stacey and I, as Stacey said, when we come into new places, it takes us a while before we can really know who is it that we can put in that 3. You know, going to seminary, one of the things that they actually discourage us from, and they're starting to stop the discouragement of this, but they actually discourage us from making friends within our congregation. I think we talked a little bit about this last week, just because then they can use it against you. And also then there are other people who look and say, well, how come he spends more time with them? And then, you know, in my leadership learning community, the teacher that was like, well, but Jesus did that. Jesus spent more time with people because he wanted to build those communities. And that's the only way that you can grow things. But so for me, I think it's that 3 has been really, it is often the hardest thing for me to build, because it takes a while to figure out where that's, you know, who that's going to be. And like Stacey said, that'll change, you know, as we go through lives, as we go through different stages. But I'm interested, what do you guys think? What's your easiest target area to hit in terms of those communities?
Well, I can definitely say that I'm like you. I have moved around a lot, growing up in Boston, moving out to Kansas, moving out to Kansas City, Missouri, essentially moving to Buffalo, New York, moving back to Kansas City, moving up to Fremont. So I have what I would call, in each area I would find, in each place I lived, I would say I had close friends in each place. But then as I moved, because I'm a guy, I'm like the worst keeping communication with people. And so, yes, I still connect with them here and there, and we still have conversations. And when if we do see each other, it's almost like we never really left. But at the same time, I'm not in constant communication with them every day, like I was when I lived there. And so that 500 could be a combination of all these different people that I've connected with over the years moving to different places. I could easily say that. Maybe even say that that might be the 72. I guess the one of the things I struggle with is, like, do you count your spouse as one of the three?
I did.
I mean,
yeah.
Because I was having a hard time going, well, if they're not really, if they're just, like, not allowed to be part of the three.
Although, if you're, like, I like being a little skeptical just for funs. Like, if you look at spiritual math here, the two become one. So if I'm one with my wife, does that mean that she and I are the same, so she can't count?
Well, or I'm one of my own three.
Right. Ooh.
Yeah, we can, well,
no one gives me good advice like myself.
And I was going to go the other way and be facetious and just say, well, Jesus didn't count his spouse as one of the three. So just clarify, right? Jesus did not have a spouse. Don't read any of those other crackpot gospels. But
before going down a different path that I was going to, all right.
There are fake gospels that say, that state that. Don't read them.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Okay. Well, regardless of that. So if I had, I mean, so therefore I only have room for two. And I think Zach was right when he was saying, you know, it doesn't have to be three. It could be two. It could be one. It could be also be five, right? I mean, it's not really. To be honest with you, if I had five, like, super close friends, like super close, that would be amazing. I think majority of people have one or two really close friends, and the rest of them are the 12. Like, I look at you guys and go, you're part of my 12.
Yeah.
I don't know if I necessarily look at you guys and go, you're part of my three. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I agree.
I look at least one of you and this.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute. Four of us just got kicked out.
I didn't know we were voting people off the island.
Bride.
That's right.
I think, you know, one of my three lives, you know, 1,000, 1,200, 1,600, I don't know how far it is, lives in Eastern Michigan. And it's just, since seminary, we have connected well and stayed well connected. Yeah.
But that relationship is hard because I had best friends back in Boston. And yeah, I still reach out to him here and there. But yeah, not, I'm really bad at that, like extremely bad. Whereas like my wife, she has her best friend who is in the Air Force and gets shipped around the world, and they talk to all the time and talking about different time zones. You know, it's just like, wow,
that's crazy.
It is crazy, but I don't find it crazy. I find it like encouraging that, yeah, people can create these connections, and it doesn't matter where this person lives, especially in this day and age.
My best friend and I have actually spent more time living in different states than we actually have in the same state.
Because it's intentional. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if he's in the same state, he's like, oh, I'll see you tomorrow or see you next week.
Yeah. We might go through chunks of time, like I'm talking a couple of weeks without a text or a phone call. But as soon as one of us initiates or does it, we just pick up from wherever it was left off. And I know that, you know, no matter what, that's just how it'll shake out.
Yeah.
You know? So if you put the time and the effort and you, I shouldn't even say that. It's not even time and effort. It's,
well, not now.
No, but initially not now, it was. But initially it was because I.
Your guys are bamboo.
Yeah, we really are like bamboo.
Yeah. Yeah. Took a long time to get that root system going.
Yeah.
And now you shot up.
She's my person. So, you know, if you're a Grey's Anatomy fan, there you go. She's a person. But
I'm not.
Bamboo. I'm not.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think even if I wasn't a Grey's Anatomy, like, we watched it all, but Stacey's wanting to talk.
I was just going
to
say that was my COVID binge last year. So. We watched it all.
All I know is that don't get attached to main characters. This is all I know.
No, and I haven't watched it for a long while, so.
I've never watched more than about 37 seconds. Like, that's
probably all you need to watch.
Well, I think Casey talked about it before, is that we want instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And this whole concept of the bamboo friendship, which sounds weird.
Is not instant.
It is like the opposite of instant. Because yep. Mm-hmm. You can get instant oatmeal. It definitely doesn't taste as good as the normal everyday oatmeal that takes forever to cook. Mm-hmm.
Gross. Well,
and I think if in relationships, that what we'll call the bamboo style of that
I think getting it's a good
that
analogy.
Yes, that baseline friendship, it becomes more and more difficult, and it takes longer sometimes to form those relationships initially, is because some of us more than others, but we've all been burned by those we put our trust in, and they've either used it against us or hurt our confidence in them. So that's I think that's what makes those relationships, like, if you make it get into my orbit of three, like, you know, it's
you've earned it.
You've earned it because, you know, I've had friends who have betrayed my trust before. It makes you a little bit more gun shy to go out and try again.
Yeah, like,
definitely.
Well, and that's the problem, isn't it? Because imagine you had relationships that were like bamboo, took a long time, eventually you shoot up. We could eventually turn into a forest of aspen. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I'm going to beat this like a dead horse. Just yeah. So.
Mix the analogies.
But to me, the church should be like the aspens. Mm-hmm. These connections that are connected and woven together. And as one organism, we are one. But sadly, I don't believe that's true. Well, it's at least not being practiced.
Well, and that's the hard part about being sinners is as even the most kind-hearted Christians are still sinners that will even, not always, but will sometimes think of their needs first. And that's the hard part about living in community is that your community will never be perfect. If you're waiting for your community to just perfectly mesh together and they'll hold you through everything and they'll never let you down. And if you can't find a community like that, you bail. You're going to be bailing a lot because sinful humans, we will turn to what works best for us as individuals.
You said bail.
Yeah. Well, and
that I did.
With, you know, with that aspen idea, I think so often, whether it's in the church or just in our, we saw it with the disciples. The default is, you know, what can I get out of it rather than how can I support the rest of the organism? You know, we had a meeting last night where we were trying to look at, you know, different people to lead and you know, different people to step up. And it's hard to find some of those people. And so when you find them, you overtax them. And then, you know, if we're using the tree analogy, then they wither and die. And now you're like going, who's gonna fill that role? And so I think that's where I could see communities being so beneficial is to the life of the organism, to the life of the aspen trees, is when everyone's giving their part. Now, that doesn't mean everyone's giving the same thing, but everyone's giving what they're able to give for the life of the tree. The church.
Now, do you think that that over the time of history, since it's become apparent that we're kind of just moving around because we have technology, we can almost live anywhere and work, and we can live wherever we want, really. Versus years ago, I mean, nobody really moved around as it was.
I mean, if you went, I was thinking about this the other day, like the pioneers who went on the Oregon Trail. If you went on the Oregon Trail and you were leaving family behind, you left them behind for good.
Yeah. You weren't going back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm even thinking of like after Jesus ascended and he sent off the disciples to go do their thing. I mean, did they get back together like and have like a, you know, potluck every once in a while with like cut ham and scalloped potatoes? I mean, how did that work?
I don't think they probably had ham, even though
yeah, that's right.
Even though Jesus declared all food clean, and even though even like he had to do it very specifically for Peter, but not really. I mean, not as a group of 12 that we know of. I mean, that I know of.
They lost one of the 12, not counting Judas Iscariot. They lost one of the 12 very early on in the ministry because James is martyred. You know, he's one of the core three. He's martyred very early on in the book of Acts. Like, so I think it sometimes in certain Christian circles, the greet your brother or sister with a hug and a holy kiss. Sometimes we like to make fun of that verbiage, but it was actually a big deal.
During flu season.
Yes. Or just COVID time.
Or COOF. Yeah.
But like that instruction was there is because, you know, who knows, this might be the last time you see that brother or sister in Christ mm-hmm. on this earth.
Well, and that is actually, in a lot of the groups that we might have had, maybe you guys were together because of an individual, because, oh, we all like this one person. Mm-hmm. And that one mm-hmm. person's like, okay, I'm moving. See you later. And then the rest of you are like, we don't really know each other.
Right.
So.
We liked Jerry.
Yeah, we liked Jerry because, you know, his name was Seinfeld and he was funny. But I'm just saying, it's just like, would they, and that actually, I mean, that actually brings up the whole point of the church itself. I mean, we all like Jesus. So if Jesus wasn't around, would we be like, I don't know if I really like you guys. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I am going down a tangent. Okay. It's 105. No. So I would just like to, 105. It's an hour and 5 minutes into our podcast, not 105. 105.5.
That's just what I was thinking. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Just join us this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on the
There you go. See that? You're really good.
There we go. Good 98.9
FM and 1340 AM.
Hashtag not sponsored, Chris. All right. Any words that we want to tie this up with? I want to look at Gerbs and say it's your job to do that.
Jesus. And I say that somewhat jokingly, but no, like we said, if we're going to commit to a community, it has to be a community with a like goal, we have to be in community with people who are heading in the same direction. And that direction is closer to Jesus. And so, you know, we can be a group of people who love Jesus, you know, and also love Friends and the show and love to talk about that. You know, I know there are a few of you there, but it's not, you know, it's about Jesus. It's about drawing us closer to Jesus. And so, you know, if you're committing to a community, you know, like day eight in the book, if you're looking out 5 years, you know, who do you want that future you to be? And are you surrounding yourself with people who draw you closer to that? Are you surrounding yourself with people who draw you closer to Jesus, who have the most influence on your lives? Like Paul said at the very beginning, that doesn't mean you kick out every single person who doesn't love Jesus, but you probably shouldn't give them the most access, the most influence in your life if they're not going to help you draw closer to Jesus, and if you're not going to help them draw closer to Jesus as well. So community, surround yourself with people who will help you draw closer to Jesus, but also don't be the tree that sucks up everything from everybody else. You know, give what God has back to the community, what God has blessed you to be able to give to that community.
Nice job.
The end. I was going to say, Paul, you must be muted because you're laughing and I can't.
I was muted. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Stacy, we miss you.
Oh, and I think that means she wants to pray.
What? No, I'm really tired. I'm like, this is a lot of effort, guys.
You know,
I'm not bad, but I'm feeling better than I was. So working on it.
Well, we hope you get well, and we can't wait till you come back to the community.
Yeah, hopefully we can be back.
Nice. Hopefully.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Casey, why don't you pray for us?
Absolutely. Gracious God, thank you for the communities that you have blessed us with. Thank you for the people and the friendships that you cultivate in our lives. Lord, in those moments when we are tempted to look for influence and drawing on support from areas that would not lead us closer to you, give us the strength, find the community and the patience as it builds through you, that we can support each other through this hard thing we call life. And Lord, in those moments when we fail our friends, give us the strength also to reach out and acknowledge that we need you just as much as everyone else. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
All right. I guess that's a Amen. Wrap, right?
Yepers.
All right. We'll see you sometime. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782. Or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.